Well, good morning again and happy Sunday. Wow, what a day. Praise God. Amen. What an awesome morning. Having people come to Christ and people encounter the Lord and hearing the amazing things that God is doing through you guys, actually. And we're so excited to be a part of it. And if you're watching by video or listening by radio, if you don't know for sure that you know Jesus, give us a call, 605-698-3494, or look us up, stop in. We would love to talk to you about making sure that heaven is your home, and we'd love to pray for you, pray with you. So thanks for doing that this morning, guys. Thanks for being here. It's a gorgeous day. How many are thankful for the rain? Praise God. What a blessing. What an answer to prayer. It was getting a little dry. Girls, who's getting slapped today? Okay. The Lord puts people in your life to humble you and make you know that you need more patience. So we've been preaching through the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. How many have ever heard of the Lord's Prayer before? Our Father who art in heaven. Okay. Like, a lot of us can say that, but Jesus really gave that to us, yes, to repeat, but it's really a pattern. It's really a way of thinking about praying. So we've been trying to be helpful for you guys, and we've been talking about, I don't think I have any left, I think they all went, but about the Lord's Prayer as a compass to really orient our lives on Jesus. And we can use that as a tool. It's a tool to get our hearts. Has anyone's heart ever gotten distracted before by something else that it shouldn't be distracted by? Anyone's life ever end up going down a path where it shouldn't be, or your attitudes get... Anyone ever had a bad attitude? Anyone ever had just not Christ-like thoughts in your heart, right? The Lord's Prayer gets our heart oriented. So you can pray this prayer every day, but pray it with the thought of this pattern of, this is going to reorient my heart on Jesus. So it helps us to pray. Because the disciples said, hey, teach us to pray. And this is how Jesus taught them. And we went through, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we said this a bunch of times already, but if you haven't been here. So we say, you can do this. You can just say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? You can just rattle through that. And that really doesn't do much of anything. It's good that it's short enough that you can remember it. But what it does is it gives us a doorway, gives us an on-ramp to get from here to there. Like, anyone ever had to jump across a creek before? You look for the widest part or the narrowest part? At my age, we look for the narrowest part, and then we look for a rock in the middle. So, it's not that you can't get across, right? But the Lord's Prayer is a stepping stone. It's that stone in the middle. You're like, okay, and then you can keep on going. So here's how we would do that with our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. I won't do this a whole bunch, but just to show you kind of what we're talking about. Instead of just saying that, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you can say that, but you can let it stir your mind and stir your spirit as you're coming to the Lord in prayer. And so we're like, all right, God, I'm going to pray. And you're like, our Father. And right away we think, oh, it's not just about me. Right? When Jesus taught us to pray, he's like, dude, pray about your stuff, but it's not only just about you. So many of our problems comes because we're internally focused, right? And I don't know if they teach that in recovery or not, but we teach it in Christianity. The more inward you're looking, the more depression, anxiety, addiction, the more you're just going to struggle. The more outward you're looking, the more joy, life, peace you're going to experience because you're looking outward. So the first word of the prayer says, our. Oh, I'm part of a family here, our Father. Wow. So you can just say, God, I thank you that you're my Father. Thank you that I've got brothers and sisters in Christ, that I'm not alone. God, I feel alone today, but I thank you that I'm not alone. That's a lie. That feeling is a lie. I'm not alone. I feel like I'm alone, but I'm not. I thank you that there's other believers and brothers and sisters. And God, I just pray for them. I pray for my family in Christ. Lord, whether here or wherever you go to church or wherever the family of believers that you associate with, or God, I really miss my other believer friends that I used to know 10 years ago. Bless them today. And then we're saying, our Father, God, you've given me your name, your identity. I'm your child. Wow. I am loved. I'm made in his image. right? And you're just praying this, and you're like, thank you, God, that I don't have to be an orphan today. You're my Father, and you provide for me, and you meet my needs, and you're looking out for me, and you're protecting me. Thank you, Dad, that you're in heaven. Whoa, you're in heaven. It's like, this isn't all that there is. Life is a lot bigger than this moment right now. Anyone get stuck in this moment? You're stuck, right? You can't see beyond the next 5 minutes. You're just consumed with something. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's anger, whatever. But you're just caught up in this moment. Our Father who's in heaven, well, it just backs you up a little bit. And you go, whoa, God, you're in heaven. You've got a great perspective. You can see things that I can't see. You're strong, right? You're in heaven. It says the earth is his footstool. Whoa. Like, it gives you this perspective of the Lord. And you could just go on and on and on. As these are just triggering things, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. And you can just worship. Lord, you're holy. You're other. You're not just a bigger version of me. You're something completely different. You are God. You're creator of all things. And you're in heaven. Holy is your name. God, I want your name to be honored in my life. I want your name to be honored in my family's life. I want your name to be holy. God, they profane your name. Lord, all the bad things that are happening, they're profaning the name of the Lord. They're not living in a way that's honoring to your name. God, help your name to be honored in the earth. Right? And then we go to the next part. It's your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's not just praying through that. It's praying, God, in anywhere that I'm in contact with, if I see that guys are coming out of treatment and they're just going right back into the same thing, I want to see your kingdom come, because God, that's not your will. Your will is that they would live free lives. So what can I do? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not your will for people to be broken, for people to be lonely, for people to be sad, for people to be needy. It's not your will. So help me to be a part of the solution. And God, bring answers, right? So you can just riff off that, and then you can just go on and on and on, and all of a sudden you've been praying for an hour, and you're like, whoa, I never did that before. Because you're just using these as little stepping stones to help you think through, what could I be praying about? So the next part today, the brand new one, is the one for today, is give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. All right. It seems great, but I'll tell you what, I could use a lot more than bread. I don't know if you ever just had a bread. Anyone ever have a bread sandwich? It's bread. It's just bread. Like when you're a kid, our kids, oh man, they used to make us stuff. It was so bad. We were looking at a picture of it the other day, and Aspen just said, oh, Dad, I'm so sorry that I made you eat that stuff. And we'd take bites, but they're going to squish up a piece of bread. It was always bread or toast or something, and there'd be sprinkles on it and syrup and ketchup and just, oh, gross. But they were playing house and thinking they were cooking good stuff for us. Mom, Dad, we made you snack because you're working on the house, and so we cooked. That moment, I would have taken a bread sandwich. Just bread. Just give me bread. So what is this really meaning? Give us today our daily bread. Well, in a culture where you didn't know where your next meal was going to come from, that was really important. Give us what we need today. So what do I need today? What do I need today? So as you're praying, this is the stepping stone, the part of the prayer. So you've been saying, God, you're our Father. You're in heaven. Your name is holy. God, I want your will to be done on earth. Oh, and that would be where, like, it's the Lord's will for people to be healed. It's the Lord's will for relationships to be better. So as you're praying the previous part, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, restoration. So, Lord, I'm my coworker. I know they're in a fight with their mom right now and they're not speaking. God, I pray that they'd somehow be able to start talking again, that one of them would be able to say they're sorry and the other one would be like, yeah, I'm sorry too. That's a prayer. That's a conversation you can have with the Lord, but it was spurred by your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does God's kingdom look like? It looks like peace. And you see people are just vandalizing things over there. God, that's not your will. Your kingdom is peace. Your kingdom is life. That's not life and peace. God, I pray that whoever's doing that vandalism, God, that they would get caught and that they would see that that's not, like, it might seem fun in the moment, but they would have a change of heart. Lord, I pray that you'd show up in their lives. I don't know why they're, you know, destroying things or whatever, but I can either get mad or I can be sad or I can pray. Lord, you do something about it. I don't know who it is. I don't care who it is. I don't, they don't need to whatever. Just help them, God. Help them to find some peace in their life so that that's not appealing anymore. All of a sudden, you just prayed all that because of your kingdom come, your will be done. So whatever you see that doesn't look like the kingdom of God, pray about that. So now we get to this part where we're going, okay, God, we've been praying about kind of your stuff. Like, I need some stuff too, right? I need some stuff too. What do I need? Well, just some normal things, right? We need food and shelter, so I could pray about, you know, if I don't have a place to live, you know, I pray, God, I pray some place would open up. Housing is tough around here. It's a good thing we have a sober living house, right? It's tough to find places. God, I pray that you get the right opening. I pray that I'd hear about a place, maybe that they're not advertised, but someone would just have a conversation. Lord, you know that I need a place to live. You know, the place I'm living in is toxic. It's not healthy. I need to get out. I need to be somewhere where I can grow in the Lord. I need food. You know, I need some food today. Give me today my daily bread, for real. Like Taco John, something. I need some help. And as you're praying for that, you can be like, how about the future? Like, okay, maybe I got a place to live today, but what about next week? What about next year? What am I working towards? Kind of the conversations that Ron and Dave would have. All right, what does the future look like for you? So as we're praying, we can be praying for wisdom. How about transportation? Well, I need a reliable vehicle or a bus pass, or I need someone to pick me up. I need wisdom, okay? Maybe as I'm praying, God's going to give you wisdom, and he's like, all right, well, you're going to get a 2026, well, I don't even know, we don't buy new cars, I don't even know what there is anymore, Ford choo-choo bean, I don't know, I don't even know what the cars are these days, but, and it's like $40 bajillion, God, I need that, like, well, I don't know, you need a reliable, like, God can give you wisdom in the middle of our asking, and he'd say, there's a car down the street for $2,000, and they'll let you make payments. Okay, all right, is that wise too? I don't know, pray about it. Give me today my needs, right? And I got to pay my bills. These are just kind of normal human things. God, as we're praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us this day our daily bread. Okay, well, I need to pay my bills. Anybody ever pay your bills? Okay, anybody not pay your bills? There's an officer outside waiting for you. If you're going to pay your bills, well, you need something to pay your bills with. So you need some income. You need a job. If you don't have a job, if you don't know where to work, sometimes you need creative ideas. Some of it, there's great things that are going to happen, but they're stuck in your head. You got inventions. You got ways of making money. You know, the first guy that drove Uber couldn't get a taxi somewhere. I don't know who it was or whatever. I don't know what the story is, but they're like, I wonder if someone would pay me just to drive them around. I doubt it. Well, maybe I'll try it, right? Maybe God's got a creative idea of how you can make money, be of service to someone, and bring the kingdom of God. You're helping people. You're doing things that are making the world a better place to be. We need financial wisdom. You know, like if my daily need is to pay my light bill, and that's $43, and this week I've bought $118 of lattes, and like, I don't know why I pick on the lattes, or like I bought a new gun and ammunition, right? But I didn't pay my light. We'll pick on the guys, right? And he's like, no, don't do it. Or a new fishing rod, you know? But I didn't pay my light bill. And then I'm like, oh, where's my God? You're not answering my. I'm just kind of being a little funny, but kind of being a little real. Let's have wisdom. Let's pray for wisdom. And then as we're praying for wisdom, let's pray for supernatural blessings. As we're being good stewards, okay, God, I got to save up money for this. Then all of a sudden, God shows up and he blesses us unexpectedly. Amen? No one wants to get blessed. Okay, that's fine. God, help me to have a good work ethic. Help me to show up. Who wants to show up at 6 in the morning for work? Not me. But got to pay the bills. So it's okay to say to the Lord, God, I don't feel like getting out of bed. Help me to feel like getting out of bed. I want to quit because I'm mad at the guy next door. Help me to realize I'm being a pouter. I'm just being real. Anyone ever had a God shut me up moment? Like, Lana, me and you, right? We're in it together. We're just going to admit it. Like, sometimes we just pray. I only say it because you put it on Facebook. But sometimes we just need, like, I need a job to pay my bills. Right now, I'm just acting like a 2-year-old right now because I'm mad at Jimmy down the line there and he didn't treat me the way I thought he should or whatever. And like, God, why don't you help me? I quit my job 2 days ago. He's like, I gave you a job, and you quit because you don't like Jimmy. pay your bills. Like, part of our prayer is having healthy souls and minds to think through these things as we're praying about them. We need a good work ethic. We need energy. Sometimes, like, all right, I want to work. Oh, man, I don't know if I can go back and do that again. We need opportunities, connections. Like, what job should I be doing? And just, God, help the right connection to be there. And someone comes along the next day, they're like, hey, do you know how to hang sheetrock? Or do you know how to fix a computer? Or do you know how to answer phones? Like, I was just thinking about you. You know, what are you doing? I'm not working. Come and work for me. Okay, right? Pray that in the give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes provision just looks like opportunity. And you have to do the stuff. Right, Ron and Dave? Did God answer prayers or did God not answer prayers? Yes, they're nodding yes. God did answer prayers. Was there hard work that had to go along with it? Thousands of hours, right? So answered prayers a lot of times just looks like hard work. But God's doing the things that we can't do as we do the things that we can do. Everyone on the same page? Right? Are you writing me nasty emails as we speak? Getting ready to throw tomatoes? Okay, all right. Didn't step on your toes too much? Okay. So here's what we're going to learn from Scripture. Got a bucket load of Scriptures today. Scripture's good. Let it get sink in your heart. It's the Word of God, man. Here's what we're going to see first. God's the provider, so don't worry. Tell your neighbor, don't worry. Don't worry. God's going to provide this. He's got this, all right? So we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. For God is the one who does what? Provides. He provides. God's the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. The section we're praying is, give us this day our daily bread. Who's the provider? God is. He provides the seed. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources. Oh, and then look at this next part. And then produce a great harvest of generosity in who? You. And when you say you mean you. Yes, you'll be made enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. When we take your gifts, as we're counting offering this morning, and all the ones that are marked Sober Living House, as we take those gifts and give them to Ron and Dave, they will thank God. They won't be like, oh, Pastor, you're so awesome. They won't say that. They'll be like, you guys are super cool. But you know what they'll say most? God is awesome. Thank God. Thank God that he met some needs when you're dropping off your toilet bowl cleaner and your macaroni and cheese. Thank God. Right? It produces thanks. But here's what God's provision should also do. It should produce generosity in you. Because give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Sometimes God's provision for someone else lives in you. And in your wallet, and in your cupboard, and in your friendship, and in your provision. God blesses you so that we can be generous. Oh, we got some amens on that. I was nervous for a second. Good. Let's look at Matthew 7. He says this. This is Jesus talking. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Look at this example he used. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God wants to give you your daily bread. Right? And he used, if your son asks for bread. You see the resemblance there? Our Father who are in heaven, give us our daily bread, right? He's saying, if your son asks for bread, you're evil, and you're not going to give him a snake or a scorpion or whatever, a stone. How about this one? Romans 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's read that together on the top line there. If God is for us, who can be against us? Praise God. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us one thing, two things, six things, 20 things? All things, all things, all things. How about this one? Matthew 6. 25, 26, and 27 says, therefore, don't worry. Tell your other neighbor, don't worry. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet I wonder who feeds them. Your heavenly Father feeds the bird. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than birds? Can any one of you add a moment to his lifespan by worrying? You cannot. It goes on to say this. So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Okay, so your heavenly Father, say that. So your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Again, provision. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of trouble of its own. Look at that right there. Seek first the what? The kingdom of God. So we got your heavenly Father. We got seeking the kingdom of God. That almost sounds like this part of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread. It's almost like the same guy is saying all these things. It's almost like Jesus knows what he's talking about. So here's what we've learned so far. Give us today our daily bread. We can pray about our daily needs. That's a great opportunity where if you've got a coworker, you've got a friend, you've got a sister, you've got a cousin, you've got an uncle, you've got a grandpa, you've got someone that's been on your mind that you know that they need something. Give us today our daily bread. It's a great place to think of someone besides yourself. Pray for your needs. God, the light bill's coming up. I'm not sure where that's coming from, all right? Pray for that. Do all that. But also be thinking about your neighbor, your friend, your family, and be praying for them. It's a great time to pray for others as you're thinking about that. We've learned that God is our source. God is our provider. We've learned that I don't need to worry. Shrug your shoulders, say, it's okay. Just say, it's okay. And then we learned that God uses my generosity to help others. Let's look at this about our daily bread. Sometimes bread is more than bread. Sometimes bread is more than bread. Now we're going to get into the spiritual component of this. Watch this. John 6, 26, 27, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves." You ate bread and you had your fill. And then he says this line right here. "Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." And it's always kind of cryptic, and you're always going, I wonder what that really means. What he's saying is, we're so focused on bread, like flour and water and salt and yeast and whatever. Jesus is saying, yeah, you need that, but there's more to life than that. Don't work for just this bread that's going to get moldy. Anyone ever had a package of moldy bread before? When I was in college, I told you this before, but I was in college, I was broke. And this was before cell phones and stuff, so I talked to my mom on a payphone. We waited in a hallway to talk on a payphone. Right? It was crazy. And so I was in Springfield, Missouri. I was 12 hours away from home. Talked to my mom on a payphone. They would send me like $10 like every 2 weeks, I think. Didn't you guys? You kind of like helped me. Oh, big spender. That wasn't meant to be. That was... I was supposed to get a job. Right. I was not a good steward. This is not a woe is me story. This is a, I'm a turd story. But anyways, went home and I didn't have a car either. So I only went home like twice a year. So I went all the way back to Roslyn, and my grandma made me cinnamon rolls. And they were incredible. My grandma's rolls were just the best in the world. I'm a guy. Guys are not that bright sometimes. I'm a young guy. Really not that bright. I'm an inexperienced young guy. So I don't know anything about it. I don't know nothing about nothing. So I take this back to my college dorm, and I stick it in my bottom drawer because I'm going to save it. You guys are so smart. You know where this story is going already. So we just kept one little light on in the room, so that, you know, because my other roommate would come in and out once in a while. So I come home one night and I come in the dorm room like, oh, I'm so hungry. I've been saving Granny's rolls for a while. So I reach in and I grab a roll and I'm just chowing down on it. I'm like, this tastes weird. So I'm taking another bite. So I eat like a third of the roll and I go flip the light on and the thing's about this big, green and blue fuzz. It's just mold. Nasty. I didn't know that stuff would mold that quick. I had no idea. I learned. And that's what Jesus is saying. I mean, great that you can have bread, but it's going to spoil. Work for something that's eternal. Say eternal. It's eternal. So he's already kind of cluing us in. And then a little bit later in the same chapter, he says, they answered and they said, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? Kind of an arrogant little question, but after all, our ancestors ate manna. You remember that from the Old Testament? While they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that wasn't even Moses that did that. Yeah, he was the guy. Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My father did. Oh, all of a sudden my father creeps up again. My father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. Say, true bread. True bread. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And he goes on in the next verse and he says, they said, I love this. This is one of my favorite lines in that whole story. Sir, give us that bread every day. If you're not laughing sometimes when you're reading the Word of God, you're reading it too seriously. These are real people. Sir, give us that bread every day. I don't know how they sounded, but I know it's how it sounds in my head. Sir, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, we know that when Jesus rose from the dead, three different times he ate with them. So I know that they were hungry again, and the Bible doesn't lie. So if they were hungry again, and Jesus said, you'll never be hungry again, then I know that it's not the Bible lying, it's me not understanding. So maybe there's another hunger that's not just hunger for bread. Anyone ever been starving and you don't know what to eat, and you end up eating a Pop-Tart, and then you kind of feel bad afterwards? That's how a lot of our lives are. There's a spiritual hunger in us. But we don't recognize it as that. We're trying to scratch an itch that isn't physical. We're trying to meet a need that isn't physical. And then Jesus kept on going in that same chapter. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Keeps going back to this bread. Give me this bread. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven will never die. Again, one of these contradictions. Wait a minute. We know that they died. You know, Peter was hung upside down on a cross and James was beheaded. And wait a minute. They died. Well, it must be talking about a different kind of death. It's talking about eternal life. How about this one in Matthew? Matthew 4. Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. One of the great understatements of the Bible. He fasted for 40 days and became hungry. Okay? During that time, the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people don't live by bread alone, or man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. All right, so do you get what we're going at here? He keeps saying, everyone else is kind of like me. They're a little dull. They keep going, ooh, bread. I want some of that. Marnie, does anyone make sourdough? Marnie makes sourdough bread. Anyone have a sourdough starter at your house? Or have you ever made sourdough? Anyone ever make sourdough? Is anyone alive this morning? Oh, you. Yes, I see that hand. You gave her the starter. Nice. I used to, when we were dating, I used to make sourdough bread and made the starter and everything. I love cooking and I love the bread. I quit for many years and now she's doing it and she's doing way better than I ever did. So we've got bread actually cooking she cooked it last night, I think, a cinnamon one and a regular one. Ooh, I get excited about bread. Travis is like, let us out of here. Good. Because you know what goes good with bread? Beef. It's what's for dinner. Travis is like, you lost me about 18 minutes ago, and all I've been thinking about is a hamburger since then, so hurry it up. But a lot of people are like me. You're just looking right here. And Jesus is like, I'm trying to tell you something here. There's more to this than just flour and water and salt and yeast. There's more to it than that. That's right. That's bread. You'll never die if you eat the bread of life. Well, then they died. And you'll never go hungry if you eat the bread of life. But they went hungry. So he must be talking about something more. Say more. Something more. There's something more. And that's what we get wrong. We forget about the something more. So as you're praying, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Look at, they don't live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. We've got a little devotional called give us today our daily bread. And what's inside of here? Flour and water and yeast? No, sir. It's the word of God. And it's this sustenance for me. And I'll tell you what, so many of us, even after we come to Christ, so many of us are trying to scratch an itch that is spiritual. We love Jesus, but we don't lean into that, right? Our walk with the Lord is just really surface. It's really shallow. And so we don't lean into Jesus. We don't worship. We don't pray. We don't spend time with him. And we've got this spiritual hunger that we end up trying to satisfy with everything else, and it doesn't work. And we end up discontent. And then you've got everyone else who is not followers of Jesus trying to just eat bread. And about 6 ideas run through my head. None of them are, I think, appropriate. So maybe we just won't talk about that. I actually stopped myself from saying something. That was good. That doesn't happen very often. I always tell my mom, those things, those thoughts, they pop in and they're out my mouth before I can grab a hold of them. But you ever just rummaging through the house and you eat a bowl of cereal and you're like, that didn't do it. Then you go eat my favorite is the purple pack of burritos. Some of you just lost a lot of respect for me. Slather some sour cream and some cheese on those. They're so good. But here's let's look at this. We're always looking for something to satisfy. Look at this. These are all statements that we've read in the scriptures already today. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? And we read, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. And we read, people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we read Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. There's this truer reality of the spiritual that Jesus only can satisfy. And I'm going to throw a profound statement up there, a couple sentences that I wrote for you. And it says this, life is more than satisfying your cravings and appetites, and you are more than your body and its impulses and its desires. That's where we get into trouble, is thinking that my hunger, right? My hunger for food, my hunger for love turns into sexual immorality and weird relationships and dysfunctional things. My hunger for acceptance turns into all kinds of horrible relationships and bad things that I do because I'm trying to get approval from someone. My hunger for life turns into me trying to find adrenaline and excitement and doing all kinds of things that are not helpful and they're not constructive and they lead to bad things. And I'm trying to scratch this itch that's inside of me to know my Creator, to know the Lord of all, to find my sustenance in Him. But I keep thinking it's something else, and I keep trying to meet that. And the world and secular science, not all scientists, because there's a ton of them that are Christ followers, and they're amazing, but science, the religion of science, humanism, tells you that you're just your body. There's no immaterial part of you. You're just electrical impulses. And so whatever your body is saying, that's who you are. Whatever your urges and your impulses are, that's who you are. It's called determinism. You're stuck with that. And I want to tell you that is an absolute lie, and it's a prison of Satan. You are not your urges. You are not defined by your sinful urges. That's not who you are. And in Christ, you can be free from that. That's what recovery is all about. And I don't care what kind of impulses and urges and desires and appetites and cravings you have. The world wants to just define you by that. Oh, you feel this way? You think this way? That's who you are then. Wrong. In Christ. The Bible says, I think it's one of the Corinthians, letters to the Corinthian churches, says that's what some of you were. That's what some of you were, but you're not anymore because Christ makes us new, brand new. So don't give, if you're here this morning and you're stuck in this idea that this is who I am because I have these appetites, like stop trying to satisfy those or stop trying to just run away from those. You're more than that. You've got a spirit created in your Heavenly Father's image. Amen. John 4 says this. We're just about done. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. This is what the woman at the well, they had left, went to town, they came back. He said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. Then his disciples said to another, hey, could someone have brought him some food? Again, they're like me, kind of dull. And Jesus said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What he's saying is, there's a spiritual component to food, to not just food, but to sustenance, sustaining your life, that you guys are missing out. You think it's just about bread. It's about doing the will of God. It's about reuniting your heart to the Lord. It's about walking in his love and favor. That's what it's about. Look at this last verse. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply how many? All. How many? All your needs, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Don't think that's just about your light bill. It's about all your needs. So here's the question as we close. What do I need? What do I need? What itch are you trying to scratch? And how am I trying to get that need met? Because so many of our problems come from us trying to get a legitimate need in our lives. A need for love, a need for peace, a need for wholeness, a need for acceptance, a need for family, a need for life. And you're trying to get it met through ways that don't offer what you're looking for. And this morning, what do you need? That's a great opportunity to bring that to Christ and say, God, help me to get that need met. Give me today, this day, my daily bread, my sustenance. I know it's not just about flour and water and yeast and salt and sugar sometimes. It's not just about bread. It's about the bread of life. What do I need today? What does your soul need? That's a great opportunity in that Lord's Prayer, instead of rattling through that going, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You stop and go, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, what do I need? What am I looking for that I'm not getting from you? What bad choices am I making? What bad attitudes do I have? How am I trying to satisfy something in my life that Jesus should be taking care of? Jesus, help me. Give me my daily bread today. Sustain me by your word. And then we're formed. We're in the word of God. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay, you stayed with me pretty well. That has been a wild morning. Thanks for staying on the ride and keeping your hands and feet inside the cart at all times, because it's been a day. And let's pray today as we get ready to go. God, I just thank you for this amazing church, this body of believers that loves you and wants to see you, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for this prayer that shapes our hearts and our lives. And we pray for the blessing of God to be upon it. And I pray that you'd guide our lives and direct us. Help us to get our needs met by Jesus. And we pray for a great week. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.